You would look with me in your Bibles for our scripture reading to Revelation chapter 12. In our study in 1 Samuel 17, we're going to be considering the battle lines drawn. And we see that in Goliath and the Philistines standing against Israel, and Israel needing a deliverer, a savior, one that was stronger than the enemy. But all throughout the ages, there's been a battle line drawn. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God said that the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman would be at enmity. We see that here described in Revelation 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So when you think of the seed of the woman, why would John be writing here in the figure of a woman? Well, I believe it's because this is showing the fulfillment of that prophecy that had been given many thousands of years prior, and to show us that that seed of the woman had come. That's what's described here in Revelation. Remember, the church in the first century was under great persecution. Christ had come, lived, died, risen again, ascended on high. And according to God's purpose, great persecution broke out in that first century, unlike any that had ever been seen to that point. In fact, if you read the author Josephus, he was not a Christian, but he was a historian, but he wrote about the persecution of that day and described the destruction of Jerusalem and how the temple was destroyed. He lived through that period. And you can imagine people that have been drawn to Christ now wondering, where is he? In the whole book of Revelation, while many people take it and spin it to some future fulfillment, when John was caused to write these words in the book of Revelation, he was writing, as the first chapter says, about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's not times and seasons prophecy. It's about Jesus Christ and those things that should shortly come to pass. So there's no gap in what we're reading between Christ ascending and now somehow waiting for the fulfillment of the book of Revelation. We studied through it. You can go back and listen to the messages if you'd like. But it's a description of everything that we, as we're here on earth, the church, can anticipate by way of opposition and persecution until Christ should come again. But the reality is that Christ is on the throne, and he reigns now, and he lives and directs all things. And that's what we see here. This woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, a picture of God's appointed woman, just as in Genesis 3:15, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Again, think of the seed of the woman, the one that should come from the woman. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. So here's the battle lines drawn. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. you read some of the old reformers, they believe this was a description of Rome. But as you read through Revelation, even though it may have depicted the Roman government at the time, it depicts any power, whether religious or political, that stands against the seed of the woman and that would seek to destroy it. Here it says, his tail drew and the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them down to the earth. Stars, just like you see the 12 stars, they represent the leaders, or, if you will, the under-shepherds that were there to care for the church. And they're described as stars of heaven, out of heaven, because they're God's appointed directors or pastors, if you will, and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We know that was the case when it came time, the fullness of the time. God sent forth his son, made of what? The woman. Made under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. And the dragon stood ready to consume that child. It says, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That one verse describes a lot from the time of Christ's birth all the way through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension to the right hand of God, to his throne. And the woman, you see, Christ is in glory. He's reigning. The woman, representing the seed of the woman, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, don't get caught up trying to figure out exact literal days, because the whole book of Revelation is figurative. It's describing the period that we're enjoying right now as far as the gospel period. And although persecuted, preserved. This is describing the church. Notice, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. God has not abandoned his people, those that Christ came to redeem. But it says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, I got myself in trouble one time when I said that I believe that Michael is Christ, because that's what the name signifies. It means to be one of God. And Michael doesn't have angels. Christ does. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. What we're seeing is that since the cross, there is no more room for Satan and his minions or demons to ever come before the throne and accuse any one of the brethren. You'll notice in the Old Testament, Job, Satan was kind of freely floating around and accusing Job. No more. You won't find that in the New Testament. Why? The battle's over. The victory's won. And that's what's being described there. Prevail not. Against the people of God, Satan has no ground of accusation. Now, he's the accuser, but there's no ground of accusation. Why? Because there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. This battle that has been fought and won by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're going to see it in the story of David. God's appointed representative to bring down this enemy that had everybody on the run, scared. It says in verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Even Christ said that on the eve of going to the cross, didn't he? Now is the prince of this world cast out. Look it up. This isn't an ongoing tug of war between Satan and Christ. It's finished. It's finished. I'm thankful it is. And I heard, look at verse 10, a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. The now words of Scripture are important. They're not just fillers. When it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, it's talking about since the cross. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. It's already come. We're not waiting for it. It is come. And the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There's no more ground for accusation. And they, notice, overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, they refers to the brethren. Where is our victory? Wherein is our hope? It says, by the blood of the Lamb. That's how sinners are justified before God. Pure and simple. Now, can we expect persecution? Well, it says so. They love not their lives unto the death. It may come in our day where we're brought to lay down our lives for this very gospel that we have the freedom and liberty right now to enjoy. How much do we value the freedom that we have now? The day may come where our meeting even like this may not be possible. And we'll be pursued. But it says, verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now Satan is bound. He's been cast out into the world, and he is active because it says he knows his time is short. You say, well, where is he at work? In religion. Not amongst the people of God. They're preserved. They're kept. Those that Christ has redeemed, he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Satan is alive and well in his world as far as his kingdom is concerned. And that is that area, those people that God has given over to their own reprobate minds to do at his will and follow him. And it says there, verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. That's a picture of the church. All the way through the ages, this persecution. But here's the story, again figurative, verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Don't interpret that as being United States of America, please. Just because it mentions the eagle. To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Again, those are figurative times, which means this gospel period in which we live. God is going to keep his church. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Remember what Christ said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. Peter wrote later about that in his epistle, where he said, Satan is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But nowhere in Scripture do you read where any one of the Lord's redeemed is ultimately given over to Satan. We have to be delivered from his bondage and our blindness in unbelief in which we're born, but the certainty is we will be delivered. God's going to have everyone that His Son has redeemed. And for that, it says, verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's, again, those that should come from that seed, see the woman, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. How's the church described as those that keep the commandments of God? Well, God's commandments are to look to His Son, to rest in His Son, to believe on His Son and what He's accomplished. And that's where we look if we're the Lord's. But none of that can deter those that the Lord has redeemed. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the clarity of it. And I pray that You would comfort our souls as we meet together. Thankful for those here gathered, for those meeting with us over the internet, and each one in the place where You've put us, but directing each one in our lives. Some of us may currently be enjoying some measure of peace and comfort, and for that we give You the thanks and praise. Others may be facing some of the persecution that we just read about. Maybe not physically, but isolation from families and acquaintances and loved ones because of the gospel. But in all that, we are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus. And I pray that You would strengthen each one of Your own. Bless us as we open the Word again tonight, and cause us to have ears to hear, I pray, and eyes to see. Behold Your blessed Son, whose name I pray. Amen.